Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a figure who's really captivated the nation, J.D. Vance.
Yeah, he's an interesting one.
And you, our listeners, have given us a ton of info on him, a whole dossier to work with.
It's true. It's not every day we get to really dig into a politician's background like this.
Like we're on some political thriller, uncovering all the secrets.
Right, with voting records and campaign finance data.
Yeah.
There are even some interesting glimpses into his personal life in there.
This is going to be fun. But don't worry, we're not here to just speculate.
No, of course not.
We're analyzing the facts, seeing what they say about J.D. Vance, his politics, and what it all means for Ohio.
Exactly. We're really trying to understand not just what he's done, but also the why behind it. How he went from author to venture capitalist to now junior senator. It's a fascinating trajectory.
So J.D. Vance, he first came onto the scene with that memoir, Hillbilly Elegy.
Right.
It became this huge phenomenon.
It really did.
You know, poverty, family, the struggles of the white working class in Appalachia. But was it an accurate reflection of his own upbringing?
Well, that's where things get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The sources you've all shared paint a more complicated picture.
Oh.
Yeah, there's been some debate about how much of Hillbilly Elegy was maybe embellished, maybe even inaccurate in its portrayal of his childhood. Some critics even question if his upbringing was as, you know, stereotypically hillbilly as the book makes it seem.
Yeah, I mean, because then you have Vance graduating from Yale Law School.
Yale Law.
And then he lands a job at Sidley Austin, a prestigious law firm.
Wow.
Not exactly known for representing, you know, blue-collar workers.
Not quite.
It's a fascinating contrast, to say the least.
It really is, highlighting this, you know, complex trajectory of his journey. A Yale Law graduate working at a top firm, but then also spending time at the more startup-focused Mithril Capital founded by Peter Thiel.
Yeah, and speaking of not typical, one little detail from the dossier really caught my eye. While Vance was at Sidley Austin, they were doing lobbying work for, wait for it, Purdue Pharma.
Oh, wow.
The company behind OxyContin.
Interesting.
Talk about an eyebrow raiser.
It really makes you think, especially since, you know, the opioid crisis is something Vance wrote about in Hillbilly Elegy.
Exactly.
Now, it's important to say this kind of work is, you know, pretty standard for these big law firms like Sidley Austin.
Yeah, that's true. But it does show you just how intertwined these worlds of policy and, well, big business really are. And it adds another layer to Vance's story. Then there's the Peter Thiel connection. Thiel, as I'm sure you know, is a tech billionaire, early Facebook investor, and a major backer of Donald Trump.
That connection is definitely significant. It suggests that even before entering politics, Vance was in some very influential circles, maybe even already aligned with a particular ideology. This Thiel connection really raises questions about Vance's own beliefs even back then, maybe even potential conflicts of interest that were already there.
And those connections, they get even more interesting when we look into Vance's Senate campaign back in 2022. This dossier really digs into his campaign finances.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, some of these donors were not who I expected at all.
It's always fascinating to see who's giving money to who, right?
Sure.
It tells you a lot about who's backing a candidate and what they might be hoping to get out of it.
Totally. And in Vance's case, you've got, you know, some typical donors, wealthy people, PACs that line up with his views, that sort of thing.
Right, right.
But then it gets interesting because a chunk of that campaign cash came from industries you wouldn't exactly associate with, well, someone like Vance, someone who made his name on populism.
You're talking like big tobacco, right?
Exactly.
Altria, one of the largest tobacco companies in the world, they were a big donor to Vance's campaign.
Altria. And it wasn't just them. We also see donations from companies like Marathon Petroleum, one of the biggest oil refiners out there.
Wow.
These are not, you know, your small town Ohio businesses just trying to get by.
Yeah, that's where things get a little murky. Because Vance, he built this whole image on championing the working class and going after the elites. But then he accepts all this money from industries that, well, a lot of people would say have a history of taking advantage of those same people he's claiming to help.
Yeah, and here's the thing that really makes you scratch your head. Some of these big donors, they actually opposed Trump in the past.
Hmm, interesting.
So did they see something different in Vance? Were they hedging their bets, figuring he'd be their guy in the Senate no matter who was in the White House?
It's possible. You know, these big donors, they don't always give money just because they agree with every single policy. Sometimes it's about access, you know, making sure they've got a direct line to the lawmakers who control the rules that affect their bottom line.
So what's a voter in Ohio supposed to make of this? If you read Hillbilly Elegy, if you felt like Vance understood your struggles, do these donations make you question him?
That's the million-dollar question. And it really depends on the voter, you know?
Right.
Some people, they might see this as a betrayal. Like, this is proof Vance is just another politician bought and paid for.
Right. Yeah.
But other voters, they might not care as much as long as he's fighting for the things that matter most to them.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely makes things more complicated. Which brings us to a really crucial part of our deep dive today. What does J.D. Vance actually believe?
Right.
Because you look at his voting record, his public statements, and it's not always clear.
Yeah, he keeps you guessing a little bit.
He does. He really does. It's like he doesn't fit neatly into any one box.
He really doesn't. And the sources you sent, they show that a very nuanced picture. Some things he said seem, well, pretty traditionally conservative. And then other things lean more libertarian. And then sometimes he sounds, well, pretty liberal.
Right. And the dossier is full of examples.
Like what?
Like taxes. He said he wants to raise the capital gains tax.
Really?
Which, you know, doesn't exactly scream Republican, right?
Not really.
Or take health care. That's even more surprising.
Okay. What about it?
He was really critical of Trump's attempts to get rid of Obamacare.
Interesting.
He said he was worried about people losing their health care coverage. Not exactly towing the party line there.
No, definitely not. And it's not just those two issues.
Right.
He's criticized big tech, which makes sense with his populist leanings.
Right, right.
But then again, he worked in venture capital, which is basically big tech's playground.
Exactly. He's tough to pin down. It's almost like he enjoys defying categorization, you know?
Maybe that's part of his appeal for some voters. He's a wild card. Someone who's not afraid to break the mold to do his own thing, regardless of the party.
And that brings us to what might be the most fascinating and the most confusing part of J.D. Vance, his relationship with Donald Trump. Get ready, folks, because this is where things get really interesting. I mean, we're talking a complete U-turn. Back in 2016, Vance did not hold back, called Trump terrible, even compared him to heroin.
Oh, yeah, he really went there. Remember that line about MAGA being like a quick high?
He did not mince words. But then fast forward just a few years to 2020, and there he is endorsing Trump's reelection. So what happened? What could possibly explain such a huge shift in such a short time?
Well, the dossier gives us a few possible explanations. One theory is that Vance actually changed his mind. He said some positive things about some of Trump's policies, especially on trade and immigration.
Right.
Maybe he saw those policies play out in real life and decided, hey, maybe Trump's onto something.
Yeah, people can change their minds, right? Especially in politics where things are constantly evolving.
Definitely. Mm. But of course, there's always that more cynical way to see it. Maybe it was just, you know, good old-fashioned opportunism.
You think he saw which way the political winds were blowing in the Republican Party?
Maybe, maybe.
And just adjusted his sales accordingly.
It's possible. Yeah. And you know what? If that's true, it could come back to haunt him.
Oh, yeah?
Political opponents don't forget that kind of stuff.
They never do.
They could easily use those old anti-Trump statements against him. He's inconsistent, can't be trusted.
A classic political pitfall. What helps you rise can also be your downfall. Okay, so we've covered a lot here today. We've looked at Vance's past, his rise in politics, and some of his views that honestly seem a bit contradictory. But what does this all mean for the folks in Ohio? Why should the average person care about any of this?
That's the key question, isn't it? You've got this guy, Vance, with his background, Yale Law, venture capital. He's a successful author. It's a stark contrast to what a lot of working class people in Ohio are going through, dealing with the economy, the opioid crisis. The big question is, can he bridge that gap? Can someone like him really be a voice for everyday people while also playing the game with these elite donors and politicians?
Can you really be a man of the people when you've also got those connections? It's a tough thing to reconcile.
For sure. And at the end of the day, it comes down to each voter to decide what matters most to them.
Right.
Are they drawn to Vance's personal story, his willingness to challenge the way things are? Or do those things get overshadowed by these questions about his connections and potential conflicts of interest?
It's a lot to unpack. It really is. And, you know, one more thing to think about as we wrap up our deep dive into J.D. Vance. The dossier really highlighted how often he talks about the importance of families.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He brings it up a lot. The breakdown of the family, how we need strong families to build strong communities.
And it's definitely a recurring theme with him.
So it makes you wonder, is this a core belief for him, a real, genuine concern? Or is it a clever political tactic, a way to connect with voters on an emotional level?
Because let's be real, family issues resonate with a lot of people.
They do. Or maybe, just maybe, it's a little bit of both. It's something to keep in mind as we see where J.D. Vance's career goes from here.
It's far from over.
Oh, not even close. And as we've seen today, it's bound to be full of surprises. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a wild ride.